So we'll have two scripture readings here this morning. So our Old Testament reading will be Psalm 121. Let's read together here, Psalm 121. Then we'll move over to the New Testament to read the book of Philippians chapter 4. Psalm 121, Song of Ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And then let us turn to the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll read this chapter. Paul tells us here, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need or to need. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of God's precious, holy, infallible word even to our hearts here this morning. Let us just bow in prayer and we'll ask the Lord to bless his word to us. Father in heaven, As we come now to the scriptures, Lord, this is your word, your revelation. Grant to us an understanding, O Lord. Your spirit once again would be the one to lead us into all truth. Father, that we might be established in your word. Help us to know you, Lord. Even now, we pray that you'll grant us that fullness of understanding that we need in Christ, that we might be established in our Savior. Lord, be in our midst. Grant to us an awareness of your presence. Lord, you are in all places at all times. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, in the midst of them. And so, Lord Jesus, come and meet with us today. Be in our midst. Draw near to our hearts. Even as those two were walking on the road to Emmaus, and as Christ drew near to them and walked with them and opened the scriptures to them to reveal himself. Lord, they could not help but testify. Did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us by the way? Gracious Father, our desire is that once again our hearts would be touched. Lord, that we wouldn't just be here to go through the motions of another church service, but rather our desire would be to meet with our covenant God, as our covenant God has called us to this place to meet with him. And so minister to us, minister to our souls. Lift our hearts heavenward, O God. We know that the Lord is indeed in the midst of his people once again. And so grant us the fullness of that understanding that we desire today. And we ask this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as we come here to the book of Philippians chapter 4, I would like us to specifically focus on this section here from verse 4 to verses 7, where Paul's directing our attention to the importance of prayer, Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you praying with confidence today? Do you have the assurance of Christ in your heart and your life that indeed you belong to him and he is yours? He's in your life. He's guiding and directing you. Do you have confidence? Do you have the assurance? You come to pray that you speak to one who hears and answers prayer, answers your prayer, not just someone else's, but you. When you seek him with all your heart, do you have that assurance that he's listening, that he's responding, that indeed he knows exactly your need and your situation, and you have the confidence that you have to come to him in prayer? Remember, to pray with confidence begins with having a healthy relationship with God through Christ. I want to know him, Paul said. Power of his resurrection. So knowing him in a very intimate and real way. So we desire to have the very presence of the living God with us daily. The sense of the Lord is the two that walked on the road to Emmaus. Remember, it was Jesus who drew near to them. They were actually walking away from Jerusalem, walking away from the Lord. But it was Jesus who came to them and taught them from the scriptures and told them exactly concerning himself from the Old Testament, things that they really should have known already, but reminding them of who he was, that he came to fulfill the scriptures, that he came to be a savior, a God to his people, to redeem and save them by his precious blood when he offered himself upon Calvary's cross. And they could not help but have a sense of Jesus as their hearts burned within them. I mean, that is our desire, isn't it? To have a real and true sense of Jesus with me. With us, his covenant people, a faithful God. Remember, it's the Lord who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will draw near to you. I will come to you. Even if we are perhaps in a place of unfaithfulness, we have not been obedient to God's word, we've not walked with him the way we should. Remember, we come to a God of mercy and grace who enables us to see our need, especially our spiritual need, and how we need to come to Christ daily, not just when it suits us, not just every Sunday, and certainly it's good to see you here in God's house, But we need to seek him daily. And when we seek him, when we draw near to him, and we pray to him, then obviously we need to do so in that assurance and that confidence that we have that Christ indeed is my Savior. He's my God. I'm resting in him. I want to know him in my heart and my life in a very full and real way. And so Paul is telling us here in our passage to rejoice in the Lord always. He says, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so what is this passage teaching us? What is it telling us concerning prayer and then ultimately praying with confidence? Praying with confidence. Well, it begins by rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. In fact, he says for us to rejoice in the Lord how? Always. Always. In fact, he repeats it. Again, I say rejoice. I mean, what do you think it means to rejoice? Just to smile and act happy on a situation that we have, maybe we're going through a circumstance and so on, well, we're just going to smile and, you know, make it look as if we're going to be happy, although we're experiencing something that's actually making us very unhappy. I mean, how can we rejoice? I mean, even during trials or disappointments, for example. I mean, verse 4 is an ongoing commandment, obviously repeated for emphasis. So Paul tells us that this is actually very important, essential for us as God's people to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, there's a constant idea here, so to constantly be rejoicing in the Lord. Now, a commandment is something that we deliberately choose to obey, and we need grace to be able to obey this one, don't we? Now, Paul gives a command that we be a people who are focused on possessing a true and lasting joy in our lives. This is Paul's desire for Christ's church. In fact, we could say this is God's desire for us, isn't it? But honestly, as time goes on, it seems to become more difficult to possess true joy. I mean, especially because we have technology. I trust, I imagine most of you here have some kind of technology. I mean, some type of social media, or you have access to information. I mean, there's a lot of news out there. We start reading about what's happening in this world, and it actually leads us to a lot of unhappiness as opposed to happiness. And so how is it possible to fulfill such a command to rejoice and to be happy always? What is the focus of the rejoicing here? Now, is the focus of the rejoicing on our circumstances, our situation, or what we're dealing with in life on a daily basis? I mean, remember, we live in a broken, fallen world. So in this world, we can't expect to be happy all the time. Is that right? And so where is he directing our attention? To rejoice in what? What are we to rejoice in? The Lord. The Lord. No matter your circumstance, no matter what you're experiencing in life, certainly as God's people, we can rejoice in the Lord and have an attitude of contentment and hope that actually transcends our circumstances. Paul had learned to be content in every situation. I mean, he highlights this in our passage as well. He said, verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. So he was very thankful. In fact, praising them for their care, their concern for them. And he said that, not that I speak in regard to need, verse 11, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be what? What did he learn? To be content. To be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned. Now, this is something he had to learn. It wasn't something natural to him. Both to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So essentially, to live in a manner of contentment no matter the circumstances, whether he was in poverty or riches, or whether things are going well in his life or not so well, right? What is the one consistent thing that we have in our life, that you have in your life? Even though life is full of change and we deal with various issues all the time, the one constant in our life is always going to be Christ. Christ, the faithful one. Because he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live in all circumstances, in all situations, no matter what I face in my life. I can live in a manner of contentment because of Jesus, because my Savior is good and faithful. I mean, to have joy and true lasting joy is in the Lord. As I look to the Lord. Remember, we are a people in Christ. And so the source of our joy must be found in Him. He is the source of my joy. If I'm to experience joy, it's because it's from Him. He gives me a spirit of joy. Because to be in the Lord represents the fullness and the fact of our living organic union that we have, right, between us and our God. Alive in Him. He is alive in us. And so to be in the Lord means that you have been saved from wrath to come by His grace alone through Christ alone. As Paul told us in Ephesians, he said, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And so recognize who you are today, a child of God, saved by grace, that God sees you as vitally important to Him, that He would not see you lost, one who would experience His wrath and curse, that He saved you from that. I mean, especially if we're dealing with something that's causing us not to be very happy, not to rejoice, recognize what God has done to save you, to make you His child, to establish your life, and the wonderful future that you're going to have with God in glory through Jesus. When you think about who you are as a child of God, may this cause you to be filled with joy, to be filled with joy and gratitude for the love of God in Christ that we receive. But also recognize that the Lord is near to you, near to you. Let your gentleness, he says, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness be known to all men. This term has the idea of moderation, forbearing, to be reasonable, able to keep steady even in the midst of a difficult situation, that there's nothing that comes along to shake your faith, right? That you don't fall apart when the going gets tough. Recognize that underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord is the one who is near to you. Remember, we recognize that God fills all space at all times. Think of the transcendence of God. You know, but He's also imminent. He's also very close. Right? He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows you personally because He's called you to Himself. Did He not? And so He's at hand, He's near, He's close, He's not afar off somewhere dealing with some other situation on the other side of the universe. He's actually very much active in your life. And so I trust that you will recognize this, and as a result, again, you'll have a confidence in prayer. As you seek Him, you recognize God is here, God is close, He's near. I'm able to see who I am in Christ. I have this wonderful and great salvation that Jesus has given to me. So, Lord, enable me now to really lay hold upon your throne of grace, to find that grace and help in time of need, to come boldly to that throne of grace. Is that your attitude? Do you recognize this in your life? That you can come boldly to your God, because you're rejoicing in the salvation that God has given to you in His Son, Jesus. Rejoice always, he says. Second, If we're to have confidence in prayer, then he says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, right? Be anxious for nothing. Now, this is not just in some things, you know, the big things that we deal in life or unexpected things. He says, be anxious for nothing, nothing. Now, what is being anxious? What is it to be anxious? I mean, it's experiencing worry, feeling unease, being nervous, especially if something uncertain has happened in your life, you know, something that is weighing upon your mind, you know, causing stress. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can cause us stress in our life. But here, Paul is telling us, be anxious for nothing. Don't be given to stress. Don't allow those things that can play on the mind to weigh upon you, to rule your life, to take over, to take control, and so on. I mean, there's, again, things that we can certainly worry about. But why are we anxious? Why can we be given to stress, to be overly or perhaps overwhelmed by the things that are happening in our life? I mean, there are times when we certainly need to examine ourselves. Am I truly trusting in the Lord? Am I resting in Him? Am I coming to Him and leaving these things before His throne of grace? Do I experience the Lord with me, helping me in those times of need? I mean, do you actively depend upon the Lord daily? As Peter told us in his epistle, he said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your cares on Him, because He what? Cares for you." I'm sure you could probably quote that verse to me. I'm sure you know it very well. Casting all our cares upon Him, because He's the one who cares for you. And so we humble ourselves before this God. Remember, pride is dependence upon ourselves. I have a confidence in myself. I'm looking to myself for the answers of life. I think I can deal with whatever issues. I'm going to have my plan, and I'm going to place my plan forward. But how far do we get when we, unfortunately, just depend upon ourselves? I mean, how many times we're frustrated, and we hit these roadblocks, and things aren't happening the way we expect them to, and it's very difficult. We humble ourselves before this living God that we love and serve. And then we rely upon Him, right? We need to have an active reliance and trust upon Him to be able to handle our burdens, our anxieties, our cares. I mean, the psalmist said in Psalm 55, 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." It's a great text. Literally, throw out, cast out your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. Now, when I was growing up, we had a wood stove. I don't know if you have a wood stove. I mean, they're always nice in the wintertime. It gives off a nice heat. But having a wood stove always means work as well, doesn't it? Because you have to make sure your wood is cut. You can't just put full logs in there. I mean, you have to cut them down into little pieces so they all fit in there and so that you can heat up your home, and it's always a very nice thing. Unfortunately, we don't have a wood stove, but who knows, maybe down the road, you never know. But when I was a child, and my dad would always send me out, I was the one who cut the wood. He'd send me out there for that job. You'd be cutting it and so on. And of course, you don't just leave it in a big pile. You have to make sure that you pick up those pieces and put it in the shed and make sure it's all piled nicely so it dries out. And so you have to go and pick up each one of those pieces, right? And it becomes heavy, right? You have this kind of burden. Well, life can be very much like that as we go along and, you know, we have this care and this concern and this anxiety and this burden and so on, and we kind of pick them up. But the problem is, we don't necessarily let them go. It's very easy to hang on to those burdens and those cares. Is that not right? It's very easy to allow those things to play in our minds and, well, how are we going to deal with this? And how is that going to work out? And so on. And it's not so easy to just kind of take those burdens like that wood and just cast it down, right? But that's what God tells us to do, does he not? Cast your burden upon the Lord. Throw it down upon the Lord. You're not to hang on to them. And even when you do cast them down, don't be tempted to try to pick them up again. Because it's, again, very easy to, well, I prayed that God would help me with this burden, but it's still playing upon my mind, and I'm thinking about it, and it's causing this stress, and it's just so hard right now. But the truth is, have you really given it over to the Lord? Especially if it's something that's still weighing upon you, if you prayed about it. Have you really given it to him? Quit trying to bear it yourself. I mean, oftentimes we break under these types of things, but we're to be humble. We're to trust the Lord, to truly give it over to him. I mean, is he not able to bear your burden? Because we could say he actually bears you, doesn't he? He's not only carrying your troubles, he's carrying you. He's carrying you. And of course, why is it that he bears our burdens? Because he's willing to. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. I mean, he's the one who tells us to pray to him, to come to him, to seek him. Because he cares for us. I mean, we have an understanding of who God is. I mean, I'm sure you can recite his attributes, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And so we have this concept of the greatness of God, the glory of God. And in we read the scriptures and we see that there's nothing too hard or difficult for him. And all those examples of how he's answered the prayers of his saints in the past. And somehow we think that he's not able to deal with our problems. I mean, if we don't think that he can help us, I think we have a wrong view of God and what he can and cannot do. But congregation, he wants you to trust him. He wants you to actively rely upon him. We are dependent at all times, never independent, but always dependent upon him. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, in verse 28, he said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you what?" What did he promise? I will give you rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I mean, we have true rest in Christ. Come to him. Come to him. And so Paul's telling us, do not be anxious. Find your rest in God. Find your rest in Christ. For he's the one who truly will uphold us in every time of need. And if you're to have confidence in prayer then, pray. Pray and know God's peace. And so he says, be anxious in nothing. 6a. So now we move to 6b. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so he says, come to him in prayer, true prayer, as you call upon his name. Because as our catechism tells us, prayer is an offering of our desires to God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And so prayer is not trying to impose my will on God's will, trying to enact my plan, and that God would sort of rubber stamp my plan. Remember that. But rather, prayer is aligning my will with God's will, recognizing that he is sovereign, he is working out his purpose in my life by a wise providence. And as he's guiding and directing my life, so Lord, help me then to submit myself to you, to truly seek your will for my life. and not to impose myself upon God. And so it's drawing near to the triune God then in faith and reverence, trust. We supplicate, right? There's supplication. Now, this word gives prominence to the sense of need. The verb is derived from the Latin supplicare, to kneel. People often supplicate God for help and prayer. It's an earnest petition to the one in authority, right? Again, to be humble in earnestness, to supplicate this God. Lord, I have needs. Lord, I need you. Come, grant me that grace and help in that time. And so supplication, thanksgiving. I mean, I think we know what this is. I mean, we give thanks to God for what he does and his faithfulness and goodness to us. I mean, how he saved us in Christ and he's bestowed his goodness to us. I remember what he's done for me in the past, and I thank you, Lord, for those times when you've helped me and you've answered prayer, and I saw your hand upon me for good, and I didn't know the answers, and you provided. I come with that gratitude to the Lord, and so I submit myself in his presence, and I look to him to the future. It's the God who has continued to grant me that grace and help. We will make our requests known unto him. This word does overlap somewhat with supplication, but it does emphasize the specific, definite nature of our petition to the Lord. This is the word used where Jesus tells us, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. We're making requests to God, and certainly he is the one who will answer abundantly. And of course, our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit ultimately to those who are his children. I mean, remember, your greatest need is not just physical. And yes, God knows that you have a healthy appetite. God knows you need a roof over your head. But your greatest need is spiritual. Remember, we are in a spiritual battle today. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, spiritual darkness. And yet, we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might because we have the armor of God. The Lord is the one who ultimately gives to us what we need spiritually. So, we come to him. And then there's an answer for our anxiety when we are able then to experience the peace of God. Right? Verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we come to him, we make known to him our requests, our prayers, our acknowledgement of him and his greatness and his glory. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven as it is in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the glory forever. Ever. Amen. I mean, we recognize God in his glory and majesty, but then we come also receiving the peace of God, the peace that God has promised for us. And this peace is real. I mean, how many times have you experienced something where, actually, I shouldn't be very peaceful right now, but I am nevertheless, because it surpasses, it's beyond our understanding, a peace of heart and soul. Because Jesus, remember, himself, Christ himself is our only source of peace. Paul said in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. So Christ not only made peace between us and God when there's enmity between us and God, but he is our peace. Our peace can only truly be found in him. He's a source of well-being, of wholeness, of comfort. In fact, the Old Testament word shalom has this idea of peace. And so the primary reason that people don't have peace in their lives is because their relationship with God isn't where it needs to be. And so if I don't have peace with him, if I don't have peace in Christ, through Christ, by means of Christ, how can I experience peace in this world? Rather, I'm going to be filled with anxieties and cares and feel stressed and overwhelmed and all of those things. But if I have a peace that comes from heaven, a peace that comes from the living God, then I'm able to deal with whatever comes my way. And so where are you in your life? Are you burdened? Are you overwhelmed? Perhaps dealing with sin? Remember, he is the one who forgives sin. You can come to him because this peace that God gives will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guarded. Guarded. You are guarded, I could say, even for salvation. And so may we experience this wonderful peace that only comes through God, through Christ. And so I ask you today, brothers and sisters, are you praying with confidence? Do you have the assurance that God is with you, that Christ hears you? Pray with a heart and soul that is desires to lay hold upon Christ because he is your Savior. He is your God. Because remember, when the relationship that you have with God through Christ is healthy, then your prayer life will also be healthy. So may we draw from this passage today even what we need to have this healthy, full prayer life, recognizing the joy that's found in God, found in Christ, that we can deal with our anxieties. I'm not ruled by my burdens. Rather, like picking up those sticks of wood, I have to cast them upon the Lord. Are you casting your burdens upon the Lord? Truly, giving them over to him, knowing that he's going to help you bear whatever it is that you're dealing with today, because he's gracious and good. And so I end with this, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Ask the Lord to grant you a heart of confidence, assurance, prayer. You might lay yourself truly at his feet in humility, knowing that he will lift you up and he will bear you along and he will be with you no matter what you face. Amen. Let us now pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the instruction we receive from your word. As Paul directs the Philippians in terms of prayer, Lord, we also need to learn what it is to pray. And Father, oftentimes we come to you with unbelief, or we don't believe the way we should. Be gracious to us, O Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us in our unbelief. Might wait upon the Lord to know you, O Lord, that we might come to you as the one who tells us to come to him. Jesus said, "All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, there's often times we seek this rest. We desire this rest, but we're thankful that we can find it in Christ. So, Lord Jesus, show yourself and your faithfulness and goodness to us once again. Help us to see you in all your glory, majesty. We be filled with our Savior. Father, be in the midst of your people, but also, Lord, as we are in our homes and our workplaces and where we are in society, in this world, Lord, continue to uphold us because we need you. Grant us that power. Help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, because we recognize we're in this spiritual battle and our needs are great. But Lord, there is nothing too hard or impossible for you. You can do all things. And so, Father, once again, help us to trust you. Help us to come to you. Lord, fulfill the needs of your people even on this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.